This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, May 22nd, 2016. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, indeed live in studio in this wet, rainy Washington day. We're here to bring you the most intimate and updated information for your health from a natural point of view, obviously without drugs and without surgery. Those of you who listen to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live over the years know that I have a very specific point of view when it comes to certain types of inoculations and vaccines and medications and so forth. And having said that, we have had the opportunity, the privilege of setting up a showing, a private showing of Vaxxed, cover up to controversy. And it's about what happens with certain types of vaccines and the outcome, which we see anecdotally, clinically, of autism. But you know what? To help me do that, I'm very privileged and honored to have as my guest today Dr. Andrew Wakefield and Del Bigtree, the producers, directors of Vax. Gentlemen, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure. We also have one of the producers, Polly Tommy, here with us. So there are, who is the mother of an affected child. So we have 3 points of view.
Excellent. Beautiful. Listen, I'm going to make this program so it's about the program, and I want to draw from your background knowledge. Dr. Wakefield, obviously, this is something that has not only hit the core of who you are as a physician, but also you've put everything that of who you are and what you have and your license to practice and so forth on the line to make this happen, to go into this production, but also the investigation that led up to that. Can you just give us a little bit of a background on this? What's happened? What brought you to this place? Why are you willing to risk so much?
Well, it's such an important issue, and it came from originally from a parent's story back in 1995 when I was working at the Royal Free Hospital. Mother came forward and said my child regressed after an MMR vaccine. They were perfectly fine and healthy, and then they now have autism, and as a gastroenterologist, I've come to you because my child has terrible gastrointestinal problems, and the medical profession to a man and a woman say that it is just part of autism. Get over it. Put your child in a home and live your life. And so that to me was unacceptable. It turned out, the long story short, is that the parents were absolutely right. The children had an inflammatory bowel disease that was treatable. That had gone untreated for many years, and the children had suffered. We could have relieved their suffering if we'd paid attention to the parents' story. And so when they said that the MMR vaccine triggered their child's regression into autism, we had to take that extremely seriously. That was, unfortunately, in contravention of the public health diktat and the pharmaceutical industry's principal interests, and that essentially was the end of my medical and scientific career, and I joined up with Polly and the Autism Media Channel to bring stories such as that of William Thompson. And this is a huge story. It's a story about the worst medical and scientific fraud in the history of the world. And it was a compelling story that we just had to bring to people who didn't know or didn't care or didn't think that autism was their problem, the mainstream, and get them to realize what is actually happening.
You know, in 40 years of practice, it's been very obvious to me that there is this linkage, and we've done everything that we can to bring it to public light. But this steps beyond that place. Mr. Bigtree, you have put yourself in a position where obviously you're a very notable director, an Emmy Award director. You've been involved with, the daytime show Doctors, for quite some time. This puts you in a very peculiar light. Again, the same question to you. Why are you willing to do this? I mean, obviously, your brethren have to begin the path of ostracizing you and keeping you away from, you know, traditional productions at this point. Why would you risk that?
Well, I mean, look, I spent 6 years on a great show, the Doctor's talk show. I had the opportunity to celebrate the best that medicine had to offer, the best surgeons, the best cutting-edge techniques. But in that, I was also always concerned when I saw corporate interests overriding the health of people. I sort of am famous for having done a show with getting a debate between Monsanto's head of pharmacology and GMO activist Jeffrey Smith when the WHO ruled that glyphosate was probably carcinogenic to humans. That's the herbicide that's sprayed on 90% of our food. So when this Dr. Thompson stepped forward from the most important health agency in the world, the Centers for Disease Control, and made the statements that he did, saying that basically we kicked kids off of the study, we manipulated data, we omitted data, and we even threw data out to hide the fact that we were seeing a causal link between the MMR vaccine and autism, that obviously to me seemed like the biggest medical story in my lifetime. And I'm a journalist. I mean, people can say it's altruistic to go, and yes, of course, I knew I was putting my career at risk, but I'd also have a passion for journalism, and when you do, when you see a story that's affecting millions of children around the world, when you see a story that basically looks like the government of the United States, a government agency, the CDC, has colluded with the pharmaceutical industry and put millions of our own children at risk. Since this study was done, 1 million children have been diagnosed with autism. So as a journalist, my passion, you know, is why I move forward with it. As a father of a 2-year-old and a 7-year-old, I also don't want to see a world that's bankrupted by a disease we can stop. I mean, we're talking about, the CDC says it costs $5 million to raise a child with autism. We now have 1 million children with autism. This year alone, 100,000 children born will ultimately end up on the autism spectrum. So we're building cities of autistic children that are going to become autistic adults. That future for my kids sounds like a horrific science fiction movie, and the cost will bankrupt the nation that I grew up in. So all of those reasons are why I am here, and if this is the last movie I ever make or the last thing I ever do in journalism, then so be it. It's the most important story I've ever seen in my life.
You know, this cover-up is really to the old axiom of when you analyze anything that's out there, you know, who wrote it, what do they have to gain by it, and who wrote the check? You know, what's the end product? I understand that Holly Tommy's on with it. This hits you directly. This hits you at home, your child. You know, you have no doubt the connection between the two of this. It has to be a passion. It has to be something that, you know, you won't let go of. Talk to us about, you know, that experience that you had.
Well, I was extremely pro-vaccine when I took my son in to be vaccinated. I had no reason to question. I didn't even think to question the pediatrician that was giving my son the vaccine. He had the vaccine in the morning, and by the evening he was having a terrible seizure, and he was in the hospital. They told us it was a common reaction they'd seen with this particular vaccine and that we should not worry because he'll get over it. And he didn't get over it. He's 20 years old now and he's not well. He will never live a life independently. And he's a very damaged individual. I mean, I do what I do now to stop this happening to other families. I can't make my son better, but if I can stop, at least, you know, if I can save a child from going down the same route as my son, then that's what I'll have to do.
It's amazing. And over the years that we've been in practice and we've watched this happen repetitively, unfortunately, and the linkage is there and people ignore that. Dr. Wakefield, you know, it's often been purported that the reason that this happens is because of the linkage to thimerosal, which is mercury. But in the case of the MMR vaccine, that's not the case. It's not a mercury stabilized substance. So the underlying question is, how does this happen? Why?
It's a very good question. The truth is, we don't know. Had the CDC not committed this fraud in 2001 when they had the data and put money into the science and advanced it, but we would probably have answers to these questions now, and that's the part of the huge tragedy of this issue. Dimerosal, I have no doubt, is extremely important. It's a major toxin. It should never have been in vaccines. It's been taken out of most of them. It's still in the flu vaccine, which alarmingly is given to pregnant women at the time of the greatest vulnerability for the developing fetus and the children over 6 months of age. And my feeling has been since 2000 onwards that we are looking at a synergistic toxicity. If you poison the immune system and the brain with mercury, you preload it with those things, that and aluminum and other contaminants, then you give the child a live viral vaccine. The immune system has no way of knowing how to deal with that. The child decompensates and spirals into autism or some other form of neurodevelopmental disorder. That's a theory. I think there's a substantial body of evidence to support it in experimental models. But as I say, had they invested in the research that was necessary when they had this information, we may well have had those answers now.
Holly, you know, in my practice, I have a young boy right now that I'm treating, as well as several others, but just recently, he's an African-American boy. When he was 7 years old, they came over to this country, and because of school documentation requirements and so forth, particularly in the Fairfax County, Virginia area, he had to have multiple inoculations all at one time. Literally, the parents described the onset of this autistic child that it took place within 48 hours. And from a boy who's very bright, very capable, very able, went into this child who's not able to produce or do. He's starting to change with some treatment. But how quickly did your son, from inoculation to the onset of his autistic presentation?
Well, I mean, he had this huge seizure that evening, and he slept. He was very sleepy for about 5 days, and then in came the most ghastly bowel issues, projectile vomiting, a loss of eye. For Billy, it was quick. But I speak to parents all the time, and it can take a lot longer. It just depends on the child. But, yeah, for Billy, it was very obvious. Very quickly. And interestingly enough, you talk about the getting into this country with the vaccines. I mean, we now are permanent residents here in America, but we had to fight very hard to not be given so many vaccines. And we came in on a religious exemption in the end, but it's hard for these immigrants, really, really hard.
And not all states allow for religious exemptions. You go out to California, now they have adult mandatory vaccines, the first time ever. Mr. Bigtree, you're in cutting edge. You're very well known. Your programs, go without any kind of reproach. Here's a situation where these vaccines, are putting huge amounts of dollars in big pharma's pockets. And, you know, how does that impact this program getting out? How does that impact your ability to show this wherever it needs to be shown? And obviously, my opinion, everywhere, all the time.
Well, look, I mean, right up front, I have to say, I had to leave television in order to tell this story. We could not get this story on television. If you think about it, we have a top government scientist that stepped forward and said on our most important health safety study, this MMR autism study was the last study ever paid for by the government looking at do vaccines cause autism. We have a top scientist step forward and made the claim, said we are committing fraud in here, and then provided 10,000 documents, data, to back up his claim, and not a single mainstream newspaper and not a single mainstream news program ran that story. I mean, that should really scare people, and you have to ask yourself why. Of all the ridiculous things we see the news talking about, why didn't they talk about one of our top scientists saying that one of our vaccines is defective and is causing autism?
My friends, we're coming up to a hard break. I hate to cut this off. I wish we could spend the rest of the program on this, but please stay where you are. We'll be right back. We have to acknowledge our advertisers. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live, special program today on Vaxxed, cover up to catastrophe. And in studio, actually on the line talking to us, is Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Mr. Del Bigtree, and Holly Tommy and all involved in the production of this amazing and very necessary, very important documentary. Please make sure that you get it. We'll have some more information about that as the show goes on later on today. Dr. Wakefield, a real question is simply this. With all of, we know that, at least clinically, anecdotally, that vaccines have some relationship, some producing end product. So here's the thing. MMR is three shots. Why do the drug manufacturers persist in wanting to produce it as a trio and take it all at one time and at a certain age and not wait and not do them individually?
Well, the reason that's put forward by doctors is that to have three separate shots, you would have three separate needles. And so it's put forward as it being in the child's interest. The real reason is that Merck have a, in my opinion, have a monopoly on the mumps vaccine in this country. And in order to secure a monopoly on measles and rubella, which were also being produced by other companies, certainly measles was produced by Merrill Dow, they needed to get the CDC to approve MMR, the combined vaccine, as the vaccine of choice and then put their competitors out of business. And that's exactly what they did. The single vaccines were available until I made the recommendation that single vaccines should continue to be available and parents should opt for that choice, I think, in the interest of safety. And then some months later, the choice was removed. So a policy decision was taken by Merck to make it MMR and MMR only, our way or the highway. And so parents who were concerned about the safety of MMR and therefore who did not vaccinate and were not able to get the single vaccine, then at that point there were recrudescence of measles in some cases, and the system only has itself to blame.
Mr. Bigtree, a real specific question. How much pressure has been put on you to stop this documentary, not to show it?
Well, I mean, the pressure has been put on the film. I don't take it personally, but we've been kicked out of Tribeca Film Festival. We got kicked out of Houston World Fest. We were kicked out of a theater just outside of Phoenix. We've had the Village Voice pull all of our advertising and send out an email telling people to not see the film, and the same thing happened at a paper in Santa Cruz. We continue to have theaters ask us how dangerous is it for us to run this film, and the truth is we haven't had a single incident at any of the theaters. So there's a lot of pressure and people calling theaters, and I think they're just trolls. I think they're hired by the pharmaceutical industry. There's been some certainly threats on my job that I'll never work again, but all of it doesn't matter. We have an important film, and the film is growing every day. People don't like being told what to do, what to say, and they certainly don't like being told not to see a movie. And ever since that's happened, we are growing exponentially. We're reaching the point where we can't do Q&As after every theater because we're opening too many theaters. And I think we'll be nationwide in almost every city within the month. So it really doesn't matter what the pharmaceutical industry has attempted to do to try and stop us. Every attempt they've made to censor this film has only backfired on them because the American people are smarter than that.
Ms. Tommy, you've set up a foundation to help the position of autism and what can be done and so forth. Can you tell us a little bit about that, the Autism Trust?
Yeah, well, the Autism Trust, I mean, every parent's fear is what's going to happen when we're not around. Who's going to look after our adult damaged children? And, you know, they get bigger and they get more aggressive because of their frustration and not being able to do things and communicate. So what I don't want is institutions and beds built around the country where they're in four-point restraints and mindlessly drugged. And these people have suffered enough with the vaccine damage. So we're building, we've had 40 acres of land donated to us, and we're building a center that where we can prove to the world, really, that people with autism, given the chance, can give so much back to society. We don't need to mindlessly drug them. Diet is key to this. Adults and children, the diet, the gluten, the casein-free diet, the sugar-free, paleo, it just changes the behavior beyond belief. So we're really advocates for that.
We'd like to, at some point, reach out to you and help you with this through our foundation, Caring for Others, and through the work that we do. And we'd like to be able to position that trust to be able to generate as much as we possibly can. Now, this week you all are going to be, I think you're in Philadelphia right now, is that correct?
We're in Philadelphia, and we are going to be in D.C. tomorrow.
We're going to be at the Angelica, the pop-up, I think it's
Pop up at Union Market, 550 Penn Street, Washington, D.C.
That's where we're going to be this afternoon and show, have a private showing of the documentary. We don't have a big audience, but we'll have about 60-some people there. I think every seat is taken at this point. So we're looking forward to helping you as well. I really congratulate all of you and putting your reputations and your lives on the line, really, you know, to make this well known and to make this happen. And we'd like to just let you know that if there's anything that we can possibly do to make a difference, to make this more relevant, please let us know. We're coming up to a hard break. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio. Wow. So all I can say about the first half of that program is wow. You know, can you imagine? I've been in practice. I'm in my 40th year. And we have seen the absolute, as far as I'm concerned, correlation, connection between people getting inoculations and vaccines and neurological degeneration. In this case, we're talking about the MMR, measles, mumps, rubella shot, and its manifestation in autism or autism-like presentations. You must see this program, Vaxxed. And it's cover up to catastrophe. And we were just on the line with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Mr. Bigtree, Del Bigtree, and Miss Tommy, who has a child who is now 20 years old, who immediately after inoculation vaccine with MMR went to autistic characteristics. Go online, check it out. We're going down to the Angelica at Union Square, whatever, on Penn. I think it's 500 Penn Street or something. It's 550 Penn Street, Washington, D.C. You can go online to see if there's any tickets that are still available. It's going to be at 2 o'clock. As soon as this program's over, I'm headed that way. Go to Eventbrite, eventbrite.com. Check it out. See if the tickets are available. They're $10. It's a donation. And I'm telling you, this is information that must get out there because it's going to save children's lives. And the one question that I didn't ask Dr. Wakefield was the incidence, a projected incidence of this. You know, years ago, the incidence of autism was 1 in 10,000. Now they're projecting by the year 2083 that the incidence could be 1 in 6. In 6 children. And they're ignoring this. They're not talking about it. And that's just talking about the MMR, you know, in its relationship. But there's other pieces of this information that you need to know about and you need to express your voice. Everybody has an opinion and you're entitled to your opinion. But if that opinion is based on hearsay and rhetoric, then it's wrong opinion. Remember my statement here on the program repetitively is that, you know, I don't want you to believe anybody, including me. I want to provoke you enough that you will do your own homework and do all the due diligence. You're smart people. You have capacity. You're not people who should be led, you know, like a lemming. So do the work. Do the investigation. This is an important subject because it affects everybody across the board. Do you know now in California it's the first time that there is a mandatory inoculation law for adults? Mandatory inoculation for adults. This is getting out of hand, my friends. And if you believe in liberty, if you believe in being able to guide your own based on your own information, you really need to step up. We're here in studio at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to take your calls. My guest in studio in this half of the show is Sue Rozelle. And the reason that Sue's here is because this Wednesday evening, as part Thursday evening, as part of our ongoing continuing education program, Sue's going to be talking about belly fat. You know, where does that tire around the midline? No matter what you do, how you approach it, you can't get rid of it. Well, Thursday night is an opportunity for you to find out what you really can do and what that's all about. You know, you go on diets, you do exercise, you do all kinds of things, but you can't get rid of this thing. So, I mean, you know, come on.
Well, we just stirred up a little stress today with this first half of the program. If people weren't stressed to begin with, they probably are now. However, it's all connection between our lifestyle, our ancient genetics, and the environments that we are all involved in, both things we can control and things that we can't control. And the downside of it is that our bodies are becoming less and less healthy in spite of the fact that we have supposedly the best health care in the world, and we have the greatest amount of variety of food and the best quality of food, and we have all these things going for us, but yet our health is going bad. We're getting to be fatter. I think we're number 17 in the world for heaviest people. I'm not sure that statistic is correct, but we are gradually getting bigger and fatter, and they project that our children's generation may not live as long as we do. That's scary.
This Thursday, Sue's going to talk to you about belly fat, and it has to do with a lot of things, from how cortisol is stored in the body and the stress patterns that are associated with the biochemistry that's associated, why you can't get rid of it. Why don't you come and listen to this program, because it's really going to tie in. I'm going to ask you a question in a second to the first half of this program with Dr. Wakefield and Mr. Big Tree and Ms. Tommy. It's important that you understand that you do have control and not to be duped. Anyway, call our office at 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. Sue, I'm going to give you a toss-up here that's obvious. In your opinion, vaccines across the board, not just the MMR that we're talking about producing, you know, the correlation to autism, how stressful are vaccines to the body, in your opinion?
Hugely. Hugely stressful. Not only from the standpoint of the fact that so many are given to our children at a very young age when their immune systems are not very formed, but the chemicals that they use in the vaccines, the preservatives that they use, and I'm not just talking mercury, temazol. There's all kinds of aluminum chlorhydrate and polysorbates and all kinds of pretty nasty things in these. Antibiotics are in there. But we're exposing, at least in children, we are exposing very young, very forming bodies to chemicals that their bodies were never genetically geared to deal with. When I was a little kid, there was a handful of vaccines that we got, and they were done, you know, somewhere during our infancies, and then gradually again about kindergarten, and then you got boosters about ninth grade.
Well,
it was a handful.
If you follow the CDC directive, by the time a child is, I think, 4 or 5 years old, they receive over 60 inoculations.
That's what I'm
60.
Talking about.
I mean, this is like craziness.
It is like craziness. And it's like, you know, perhaps the immune systems are capable of dealing with one or two at a time after the child gets at least to be a year old. Their immune systems are more formed. Their gut is more formed. That's the whole key here with this whole MMR and autism business, is that they don't have gut function really working and digestive juices really working until they're about a year old. This is why you don't give babies solid food, because they don't have the ability to break it down. But yet they're giving these children these toxic substances in large quantities and expecting their immune systems and their digestive tracts to process them. The liver has to detox anything that we get.
Well, I asked Dr. Wakefield the question, and I said, you know, how does the MRI vaccine actually produce it? And he said, basically, it's a viral overload because it's a live virus.
Sure.
And we used to think that all vaccines had thimerosal, which is mercury. The truth of it is many other vaccines, including the flu vaccine and so forth, have thimerosal stabilizers, but in this particular situation, but the correlation is it's still producing it. And the reason I asked you the question is because the body protects itself by forming fat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of this fat that's forming our body. You can't get rid of things. And as you said, the liver, but the gallbladder is what processes toxic metals, and it doesn't work in a child until a child is 6 months of age.
At least 6 months.
And like
9 to 12.
And if that's not working, it's a problem. Sue is going to be presenting a program on belly fat and all the ramifications about that, that tire that just doesn't go away no matter what. Well, there's real reasons for that to occur. Love to have you as our guest this Thursday, the 26th, 7 p.m. at the Result Center for Healing. Call 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. Register now, because I can guarantee you this is going to be a packed house, and we want to be able to have the opportunity to encourage any kind of direction that you want to take. Peter, thank you for holding and being patient. How can I help you, sir?
Well, I actually am going to try to help you if I can.
Okay.
Did you read they reviewed the post weekend section reviewed the movie on Friday. I don't know if you saw it.
No,
but
I didn't.
Needless to say, it panned it.
No
and
kidding.
It only gave it one half of one star. I didn't have a chance to pull out the review to read it again, so I could quote you from it.
Yeah, Peter, they sent me the documentary in preparation for the interview, and I saw the whole thing privately, and it is one of the most mind-blowing documentaries.
Oh,
soon
yeah.
I watched it the other night.
Yeah.
A half of a star, it should have been like 10 stars.
10 stars.
It's something that everybody should watch. I'm telling you, and Peter, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, I just wanted to suggest you write a letter to the editor.
I may get that done today. We're going to go downtown and we're going to watch it. We have a private viewing this afternoon for those people who purchased tickets. And then, trust me, I'm not done with this. Peter, appreciate your phone call. Thank you. Bobby, how can we help you, sir?
Doctor, good morning, and thank you for all you doing for being on the radio. Vaccines. Does that apply to, say, the shingles vaccine? For older people.
Absolutely. So let me tell you a little bit about the shingles vaccine, and I could do it quickly. Here's what happens. They advertise it as, and this is my opinion, but I'm drawing from my biochemistry, I'm drawing from my knowledge of pathology and so forth. So they're saying that they're going to give you the vaccine to stimulate an immune response so you're protected from this shingle virus. Now, what their reasoning is that if you already have the shingle virus in you, you're going to, which is the chickenpox virus that you had when you were a kid, if you had chickenpox when you were a kid, that you're more susceptible to the developing shingles. Here's where the nonsense comes in. If you already have the virus in you, then you should have developed an immunological support to not getting the shingles. But what happens is the immune system begins to break down, and those things that protect you from the re-stimulation of viral patterns begin to manifest themselves. So it's a lot of bunk. People who take the shingles vaccine have an equal incidence of developing shingles, and that's out there. That's not Dr. Tom Rozelle telling you that. That's the literature. Check it out. Read carefully. Read behind the lines. And a lot of the stuff they don't want you to know about. Why? Because they want to sell you something, and it's huge dollars to them, and it's across the board. So,
isn't it in essence like a booster shot?
No. No, it's not a booster because, you know, you already have that inside of you. You talk about a booster shot with tetanus and so forth, and supposedly the reaction wears off. Well, here's the other thing they don't tell you about tetanus. And if you talk to any functional medicine physician, is that, you know, by the time you're years later, unless you have a rusty nail, and tetanus is one of those things that is exposed, that if you expose it to oxygen, it dies. If you get a rusty nail, that's good enough time to go down there. And if you ask any physician, it'll work. Or if you get on the antibiotics that are necessary at that point to relieve from the toxoid, that's enough time as well. But there's all kinds of things there. You've really got to ask the right questions. Bobby, I hope that helps a little bit.
I wanted to add one other thing. A question came up about adult vaccines. And, of course, Bobby's question about shingles. If these vaccines that these babies are getting are overloading their liver and their gallbladder when they aren't under the everyday-to-day stress that grown-ups are, what do you suppose is happening to the bodies of us adults who are overwhelmed? We don't get the sleep we need. We don't get the relaxation we need.
And the liver's toxic to begin with.
We live in a race world. And our livers are already struggling to deal with our environment and the food junk. Now they're going to add in on top of that a number of toxic chemicals and live and attenuated viruses and bugs of some sort. Just think of what's going to happen.
And the majority of these inoculations, particularly the ones that we take as adults, have aluminum and thimerosal, which
lots
is mercury, and formaldehyde, and they're grown off of things that a lot of us are very sensitive to, from chicken parts and embryo fetus and so forth. And, you know, the bottom line is, do you want this stuff in your body? Do the research. It's your decision. You've got to make the choice. But I'll tell you what, there's enough evidence out there that says not so much.
And you can't get rid of it, so it's going to go into your fat cells.
888-630-9625. Sue Rozelle will be doing a program on belly fat and why you can't get rid of it, no matter what kind of diet, what kind of exercise program that you go on, this Thursday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing at 7 p.m. Love to have you as our guest. 7:30 p.m. Sue just corrected me. So 7:30 p.m. You know, you have to be different.
What can I tell you?
You know, the program's starting our office earlier. And so for you, we have to do it at 7:30. It's okay. It's going to be a beautiful week, and sunshine's going to be out, and no problem driving. So give us a call at 703-698-7117, 703-698-7117. You know I'm going to pay for this after the program's over, right? So having said that, Leo, thank you for calling. How can I help you, sir?
Yes, hi. This is not Leo. This is his wife, Maggie.
Oh, hi, Maggie.
Sorry about the switch. He called in and said, "You talk to him, babe, since you're the one that's always, you know, going on about this."
We got it. We have a minute.
I fully agree with everything you're saying. Every time I try to bring up the thing about how vaccinations have affected our son, I get shut down.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Is your son suffering from autism or autistic-like situation, or what are the reactions?
Yes, he is severely autistic. We got him when he was 3.5 years old, and he wasn't walking. He's turning 11, and he is not talking. He's obviously loud and noisy, but he's not verbalizing anything.
Maggie, can you hold on? I'm going to hold you over the break because I want to ask you a couple things. Don't go away. We're coming up to a hard break. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This has been a real crazy, fast program. Started out the program with interview with Dr. Wakefield, Mr. Big Tree, and Ms. Tommy, who are involved in Vaxxed, cover-up to catastrophe, and what happens when you really look at the data from inoculation of MMR in children all at one time to what happens to a large majority of them. And we're talking about autism and autistic characteristics and subtleties that occur that aren't even being reported. And the projection is that, you know, if this continues uninterrupted by the year 2082, 83, that there'll be 1 in 4, 1 in 6 children, and there's two different codes, but let's take the 1 in 6, even at that, it's like ridiculous, that will be affected by autism. It's not okay. This is, do your homework. As I said, make sure that you do your homework and make your decisions accordingly. My guest in studio right now is Sue Rozelle. This Thursday, 7:30 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing, she's going to be doing a program on belly fat, you know, where that tire around your middle comes from. Well, we're talking about some of those things right now, you know, the medications, the inoculations, all the things that, you know, accumulate in the body through its fat accumulation tries to protect you. Stress patterns due to cortisol, right, Sue?
Right.
And, you know, so you're going to talk on that. Is Maggie still online? Maggie, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, so let's very quickly, with your son, what's happened? How quickly? Give us the history, if you can do it in about a minute.
Well, we got him when he was 3.5, and he already had autism by that point. He and his sister actually might have some biological grandchildren that we stepped in and rescued them from foster care. And we've had them now for 8 years. We're going on 8 years. And he was unable to walk at 3.5 due to the autism. He was still unable to speak, although he is auditory. You know, nonverbal doesn't mean quiet. And we have progressed with him quite a bit. The first thing we did was get him evaluated to make sure that, you know, that's what it was. And they told us to get him immediately on a GFCS diet. So I basically tell everybody he is gluten-free, dairy-free, and nothing over 3 syllables in his diet.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Yay.
One of the things that you want to consider as well that we've seen over the years that seems to work in tandem with that is making sure that the omega fatty acids, omega 3, 6, and 9s are balanced, the DHEA levels are at very, very high levels, making sure that amino acids are at a level that the body can use them, balancing serotonin, dopamine, and GABA in a way that the body is in an equilibrium. all of those things are important. And if I can help you in any way, send me a note, you know, and I'll go back and forth with you. But it's we treat a lot of children,
probiotics,
you know, with
as well.
Probiotics, heavy dosages of probiotic. Really appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Wish we could spend a whole lot more time on it, but like again, we're coming up. Sue, tell us about the program. We really have about a minute.
Okay. We are going to cover a whole variety of reasons why people gain weight, especially as we get older. Older beginning somewhere between 38 and 40 is usually when we start seeing it, but it can happen earlier. It's an environmental thing. It's our dietary patterns. It's our lifestyle. It's all the craziness that we have in our lives in this 21st century, trying to deal with it in ancient genetics and the old techniques that used to keep people alive when they lived in caves. So we've got a problem here. We've got a disconnect between what we need and what we've got. And it's learning what we need to do in order to put the balance back together.
You know, if you go back to the way that I was raised, the way you were raised, eating in things that, you know, that we had, you know, a lot of the things were grown in our own gardens, it made a huge difference. We're seeing things across the board today. And just remember, you know, we're talking about inoculations and antibiotics and those things that can cause damage. Well, the animals that you're eating, unless they're organic free-range animals, are getting the same things. And guess what? You get to consume that. You know, whether it's dairy products or otherwise, those animals got it. You're getting it just like you're nursing from your mother. Call us, 703-698-7117. See you next week. Love you. Bye.